Father, help me stay on track. You guys know that I've self-diagnosed myself with ADHD, so I could have an excuse to just talk about whatever I want to talk about. But I'm going to get through this. Now, we've been in Corinthians for a very long time. And how many of you guys know the Word of God is sufficient? How many of you guys believe the Word of God is sufficient? Okay, I need some more of y'all to start believing that, all right? And we're going to get into this. And we've been reading, and Paul's been writing this letter to a Corinthians church. Now, I need to remind you of a few things. Just as a reminder, Paul didn't write chapter and verse. This is a letter. This is just straight thought he's coming down on. And we're getting into the reason why I wanted to preach this series in the very beginning was because of this chapter and the next chapter and the next chapter, these next three chapters. And we're going to talk about some crazy things. Now, how many of you guys grew up, let's say, in like a Baptist church? Not like a Southern Baptist. I'm talking like a Baptist. Where's my Baptist people at? Yeah, okay. I could tell during worship that you're from the Baptist church. How many of you guys grew up not in church? How many of you guys were not in church growing up? Okay, look at that. Look at that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hey, did you see that testimony right there? That's some good news. Yeah, I love that. And how many of you guys grew up like Pentecostal? Where are my Pentecostals at? Yeah, okay. We know. Yeah, we know. We heard you during worship too, all right? And so look, man, these next chapters could be almost intimidating because it's talking about stuff that goes beyond what we would call our normal reasoning. It's going to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to put this out here very, very firmly. I do not believe that the Holy Spirit stopped doing great wonders and works. There's nothing in the Bible that shows that. In fact, if anything, it shows the opposite, that God wants to do great works through you and I. And that you and I should be people who go, man, I don't know if I understand. How many of you guys don't actually understand everything in here? I don't actually understand everything. But if God wants me to have it, then I want it too. Is anyone down with that? If God wants me to have it, I want it too. And so we're going to get into that. And now I have this whiteboard up here, and this is causing any of you PTSD. Don't worry. Don't worry about it, all right? How many of you guys are glad that history is history? Anyone in here glad that your past is the past? But I'm going to get into something on here because I got to explain about hearts and asking with the right purpose. So I'm going to read these first few verses. I'm going to break it down. If this is your first time here, I'm going to read the Bible to you. Hopefully, this isn't the first time you read the Bible this morning. I hope you already read it this morning. Can I just say this? Hey, church, can I just tell you, if you leave with anything, can you just read your Bible? Can you just do that? Like, listen, I know that. How many of you guys hate reading? Anyone in here hate reading? I don't like reading. You're liars. You're all liars. I've asked like 6 questions and you're just staring at me. Like, I don't believe any of you. We're going to have a repentance altar call at the end. I have a hard time reading, and not because I don't like what I read, but I don't know. I have a cell phone, and so that's way more entertaining and stuff like that. And so I want to encourage you, though, that the Word of God will transform your life. I don't even care if you read it for the wrong reasons. In fact, if you're an atheist, I want you to read the Word of God because I believe it will transform you. So verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities, it should say gifts of the Spirit has given us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." Verse 2, "You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." I'm going to stop there for a second because Paul's kind of addressing something with him. He goes, listen, I don't want you guys to have no understanding about the spiritual gifts of God, that he does miraculous things. He says, but I'm doing this. I want to give you understanding. Why? Because I know that you've been persuaded. You've been pulled by these false gods and these idols. And I actually want to point something out because I think this is important. I've had many friends who were raised in the church, and this is what they do. And one friend in particular, I love this person to death. She has walked away from the Lord, but she went to a meditation practice. She was chasing a boy. How many of you guys know that relationships could be good and they could also be bad? You guys ever been through that? Yeah. She was chasing a boy. She goes to this new age camp, and they do these breathing exercises. And what happened is that she had this experience. It was a crazy experience. She said it felt supernatural. And she came to me, and she said, "Tommy, I've never experienced anything like this at this meditation camp," which is about self-awareness and self-building and kind of propping yourself up. You know, it's about being empowered as a person, which all sounds nice until you put it to the light of Christ. And while she was there, she said, the only time I've ever experienced anything like this was when I got baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, that's really interesting. I told her, hey, be careful. Be careful, because there's wonderful things that could happen that in the end aren't pointing you towards Christ. And Paul says this right here. He says, listen, I need you to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I know that some of you have been led astray back in the past, and you are doing all sorts of stupid stuff. You're carrying some rocks in your pocket and burning sage in your house because you thought that somehow that was having power. And you're letting these other things come into your life, and you are worshiping, you are bowing down, you're giving your attention to these false idols. And he says, I don't want you to be persuaded by all the miracles. He says, you've got to understand something, that the miracles are good, the power of God is good, but it should always point back to him. And the people performing the miracles, if they're out there cursing Jesus, don't try to hang out with them. I'm saying this because I think something that we need to understand is in this scripture really quick about people who curse Jesus, they cannot be speaking from the Spirit of God by cursing Jesus. He's saying, listen, if people are out there and they're doing these wonderful works, but they aren't glorifying Jesus, recognize that they're not working by the Spirit of God. And you should step away from that. But I want to go a little bit further, because I don't think you guys are looking around and finding witches and witch doctors. Maybe you are. Get away from that junk if you are. But I don't think that's actually really it. But I do actually want to talk to you really quick about who you are listening to. Listen, church, stop listening to people who curse our Jesus. I'm going to say this one more time. Stop getting advice from people who curse our Jesus. Stop glorifying people who curse our Jesus. Stop listening to music saying, I point my middle finger to the air. That's Jay-Z, by the way, who curse our Jesus. I don't think you understand. They're not speaking from the Spirit of God, so I'll let you guess what spirit they're talking from. And some of us think it's just talk, talk, talk. No, 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 no. They're talking from a different spirit. Do not align yourself with these people. Listen, you got friends in your friend group and you want to minister to them and you're in fellowship, but they're cursing Jesus. Recognize something. You do not have a spirit in common. You are not kindred. No, you guys are separate. And he says, man, if they're doing that, if they're cursing Jesus, recognize it's not from the Spirit of God. In the next scripture, he says, and just a heads up, no one can say Jesus is Lord. Remember what Lord means. Lord doesn't mean a title. Jesus is Lord is saying Jesus is my master. I submit to him. Whatever he wants, I do. He says, no one can say that except by the Holy Spirit. And he goes on in verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There's different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. And God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. All right. I want to pause. I want to break this down really quick. I think this is important. He says, hey, just a heads up. I've known that you guys have fallen for different tricks and things. You started following pagan gods because you were impressed by what they did. And he says, I want you to know, I got to give you some understanding about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because this is important to our walk with the Lord. And then he goes on and says, there's a variety of different things that God does. Now, I want to say this just real fast, because I think it's important as believers that you understand that God has more than one way to work. How many of you guys could testify in your life that he's worked in miraculous ways and many different ways, all right? Me too. Now, I'm saying that because you and I don't actually think that all the time. How many of you guys have ever been just broke, like actually broke? Anyone in here? How many of you guys might be broke right now? You can raise your hand. We'll find you after service. I've been broke, all right? So broke, me and my wife. Well, actually, I wasn't there for it, so I can't take credit. My wife scrummaged through our couches looking for pennies so we didn't overdraft on our bank account. We've been there. Now, I want to say something about this. We used to pray, Father, give us more money. This is the way that you're going to provide for me, that you're going to give me money. And I thought that God was a one-trick pony when it came to provision. I thought that God would only provide for me through money. It wasn't until I released money in my life. I said, God, you guys might know the story. If you don't know the story, it's real quick. 2020, the first year that me and my wife became pastors, we decided by the following of the Holy Spirit that we were going to give up our pay at the church. We didn't tell nobody. We got ratted out at some point and the church got mad at us, but it doesn't matter. We give up all of our money. And the number one thing, what we thought was going to happen when we gave up our pay that first year, was that we weren't going to be able to feed our kids. Now, if you guys don't know, we look like we're Mormons, okay? Because we have a bunch of kids. And so people think like, oh, these guys are crazy. And it's not because we're crazy. My wife just heard from the Lord to trust the Father with her womb. And so we have a bunch of kids. So we have all these kids. We're thinking, how are we supposed to feed all of our kids with no income? And if we didn't know, Susie didn't know. We thought maybe by pinching pennies and we could live off the little savings we had for the next year. We didn't know what was going to happen. But one day, while sitting out by the fig tree, a school bus shows up. Two women in the school bus say, do your kids want some food? Susie says, yeah, that would be great. They give us breakfast and lunch for every one of our kids. My wife calls me up. She's like teary-eyed. She goes, Tommy, you'll never believe it. Guess what just came in? The school bus, a public school bus. Listen, we're homeschooled, okay? We're the enemy of public school. And they came through with an olive branch. They said, hey, we want you guys to take this. We don't know how. But every weekday after that, they found out where we lived, and they would pull up, honk their horn, and they would provide breakfast and lunch for my kids. Every single day, until, check this out, the church found out we weren't taking pay, said, we rebuke you guys, you have to get paid. And they started paying us again, and as soon as they started paying us again, that dried up. You know why I'm telling you that? Because I think a lot of us are trying to pray to God, telling him the way he should do his promises. I want to tell you a little secret. Trust him that he's not going to lie. If he promised that he'll provide for you, he's going to provide for you. Stop concerning yourself with the way he does it. Just start concerning yourself whether or not you're going to believe he'll do it. This is important for you to understand because a lot of your prayers are funny. I mean, my prayers were funny too. I was praying for money. That's all I would always pray for. Anytime I was at lack, Father, give me more money. What if I told you God's looking for a different way to show you how great he is? What if he wants to feed you with the ravens? You guys know your scriptures. What if he wants to let bread come down from heaven? You're limiting the ways of God because you think that he's a one-dimensional, one-trick pony. He is not like us. He's greater than us. Who said, come on, get me pumped up. Daryl Walker, my dog. What's up, baby? Thank you, baby. Hey, dude. Now, I mean it. He's bigger than that. Church, don't confuse his ways with his promises. Some of you are waiting for a certain way to happen, and God's going, no, look over here. I'm already doing it. Some of you guys are waiting for God to do something because you're stuck on saying, no, this is the way you're going to do it. I had a good friend. I don't think he meant anything bad by this. I'm dealing with some spiritual stuff, not me personally, but I got a kid in my youth group who's dealing with demons, all right? I mean, he's like full-on possessed. I'll tell you the whole story another time. But while we're in the room, I don't know what to do. I'm pretty young. I'm pretty young in my faith. I don't even know that me not being able to cast out the demon was a me problem, not a him problem. So I'm sitting here looking. I don't know what to do. And my buddy, who's with me, a sovereign, he's a great guy, a solid dude who's been in the Middle East for years as a missionary, came over here. He told me this. He said, if you want to get a demon cast out, you got to look into his eyes. I'm like, okay, you know. Where's the demon's eyes? I don't know. Like, make the kid open up his mouth. Where's the demon, you know? And I'm over there trying it, and I loved it. I don't think he had any wrong intentions, but let me tell you something. He didn't understand that God had another way. And what happened was actually another pastor came in and through a prophetic word said, you've got unforgiveness in your heart, and you're bound up by the lies of the enemy. Forgive your family. As soon as that kid started forgiving his family, he was set free in that moment because it was a different way. Don't get caught up in the way God does things. Get caught up in what he promised you and trust it. He works in many different ways. Goes on. Verse 7. I'm not going to make it through this thing. All right. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Look to your neighbor and say, you need a spiritual gift. Tell them that right now. Say it with some conviction in your heart. All right? Because listen, this is why. And I got to write this diagram up here. You guys want a Venn diagram or you want a diagram with worms? Which one you guys want? Venn diagram. It is. All right. That's probably better that way anyways. Listen, I'm gonna draw something out for you real quick because I think this is important. Paul says something. He says, man, I want you seeking the spiritual gifts because the spiritual gifts are there to help one another. I'm going to say it again. Verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. The reason why I want to emphasize on this is because most of us have a pretty bad taste in our mouth about spiritual gifts. And we hear about prophets who go around and they run whole churches prophesying. And we know about people who have healing ministries and have entire platforms based on healing. And we know people, and listen, I'm not even shaming that, but you've had some bad experiences, and you've watched people speak in tongues. And you're watching them, and it looks like they're speaking in tongues for what reason? For themselves, which, hey, there's a place for that. But you feel uncomfortable in the room watching them speak in tongues. And so what happens? You get a bad taste in your mouth, and you're thinking, they're not speaking in tongues. They're just saying the same gibberish over and over and over again. And that guy's not really prophesying. He has probably a radio in his ear, and someone's probably telling him these people's problems, because I saw that, 2020 episode. And all of a sudden, we have this bad taste in our mouth about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a bunch of us, I'm going to tell you why you have that bad taste, because you keep seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit being used for one's own self-validation. You see the gifts of the Spirit being used for self-appointed authority. I'm a prophet, so you must listen to me. I'm a healer, so you must do what as I call you to do. And what happens? The spiritual gifts now looks like voodoo and magic that lifts up men and doesn't glorify God. And that's a big deal. And then there's another group of people in here who are raised like me, where it's like, no, the gifts of tongues. And I'm going to tell you right now, you should seek the gift of tongues. But you've been weirded out by that, right? And you've been praying for the gift of tongues, and you never received it. And because you never received, how many of you guys have ever prayed for the spiritual gifts? Anyone in here ever pray for the spiritual gifts? Okay, a few of us, good for you. Good for you guys, good. The rest of y'all, man. Man, you guys prayed for the spiritual gifts, and this is what happened. I know this happened to me. I kept praying for the spiritual gifts over and over and over. And I was taught this, that if you don't speak in tongues, then you don't have the Spirit of God over you. And so what happened? I got freaked out. Wait a minute, I don't have the Spirit of God? Because I don't speak in tongues? So now I'm praying for the Spirit of the Lord to give me a gift of the Spirit that I might speak in different languages so that I would be validated, so that I could walk around and go, yeah, hey, look at me. I do have my badge. Look at me. I do have the Holy Spirit. That's why I was seeking for the gifts of God. And then I remember when I was younger, especially saying, God, I want to see, like, it would be way cooler if you give me the gift of healing so people could be healed through me. Because how sick would that be, you know? Because what would I do with it? I know what I would do with it. I would make a ministry. I'd probably start a YouTube channel. Like, hey, look at this paralytic guy. Boom, look at that. I was like, you know? And all of a sudden, I'd be like, look at what's happening. Or if I had prophecy, you know what I want to do with prophecy? I remember telling the Lord, Lord, give me prophecy so I could, you know, tell people the future so that they might know you. And this is what was happening in my life. I was praying for the gifts of the Spirit of God amiss. In other words, I was praying for the gifts for all the wrong reasons. And this is really important scripture. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. James chapter 4, verse 3. In that book, in that scripture, it says, man, you keep asking, but you won't, or I'm sorry, you want, but you don't get because you don't ask. But when you do ask, you ask amiss. And I need to explain this to you because I think I need a new marker. I think a lot of us have really confused. The Venn diagram is the one that shares the circle. Yeah, there we go. The reason why you should be asking God things. Now, I'm going to step away from the gifts of the Spirit for a second. I want to talk to you about just asking God for things in your life. I want to talk to you just for a second beyond the gifts of the Spirit, because what Paul's hitting on when he says, man, you should be, you know, asking for these things, you should be getting these because God wants to give them to you so that you can bless each other. The gifts of the Spirit are not for platforms or validation. It's for the person next to you. And you're probably having a struggle in your spiritual walk with the spiritual gifts because you've been trying to figure out how and why you need the gifts of the Spirit. And the validation thing has kind of rubbed you the wrong way. And the use it for a platform, you thought, man, that doesn't make sense either. But this, for the first time for some of you, you're actually reading going, wait a minute, I'm supposed to want the gifts of the Holy Spirit so I could bless other people. Now, if you've been like me, I've asked amiss. I said, God, I want tongues. And this is why I want tongues, because I want validation. I'm just going to put a V because I'm a bad speller, okay? I want validation. I want people to know, and I want to know that you are with me. Give me the gift of tongues. And I grew up in that. Now, listen, I believe in tongues. I think tongues is powerful. You should seek it. But I was for years asking the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit for the wrong reason. James 4:3 says, you're not receiving from him because your purpose is off. My heart intent. And if I had changed my mind and I said, God, give me your Spirit and the gifts of your Spirit so that I could bless my brothers and sisters. I'm going to just put bless others, B-O, not to be confused with body odor. If I focused here, I would have been asking on point. Father, this is what I want. I know that your gifts are not for my validation. Your gifts are so that I might serve the church. Now listen, that sounds good, but that's crazy to pray that God would work through you supernaturally because you love your brothers and sisters so much. And I'm going to be real with you. Most of us aren't praying for the gifts of the Holy Spirit for that reason. You know how I know that? Because none of your other prayers reflect that either. That you love your brothers and sisters so much, you say, Father, use me as a vessel, not so I could do great works, that I might meet the needs of my brothers and sisters around me. Some of you guys, if you started praying like that, you would start noticing that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are already upon you and that he wants to use you today. But check this out. I want to get to your heart issue. When I prayed for validation, I used to say, God, if you give me tongues, my heart was this. This was my real purpose. I just wanted to be validated. But I had some interlocking things. I'd say, Father, if you give me tongues, check this out, then I can minister to other people. Minister. If you give me tongues, Father, I'll be validated. I'll feel like I'm a real Christian. Then I could preach. Check this out. I'm going to put these in the middle because here's the truth. If I seek it with the heart of God, I want to bless others, I'm going to minister. If I seek it with the heart to bless others, I'm going to preach. If I seek the gift and say, God, I want to have this gift of speaking in tongues so that I could declare your mysteries. As it says in scriptures, we'll get this later. See, even if I had this heart, these are the same things I'm looking for. And this is what I want to point out really quick. A lot of us are praying to God and saying, God, I want this, whatever it is. If you just give me finances, I could be so much more generous. I know you're in this room. Father, if you would just give me money, God, you know, just secure me. You know, give me the security of finances. Just bless me. I mean, you know how cool it would be to find a winning lotto ticket on the ground? That would be crazy. And if you won $600 million, how many of you guys believe that you would probably take some of that and bless others, right? Yeah, I hope you would, you know. Even if it was 1%, you go, man, I want to bless others. And so what do? We pray, Father, give me money. And if you do, I will do these great works that look really good. But he's still looking at you going, yeah, you might think that you would do these things, but you're still asking amiss. You're still asking from this heart. When it came to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I was saying, God, validate me, and then I'll go do these things. He's saying, man, Tommy, you're asking for my gifts for the wrong reason. And let me just tell you, salt water and fresh water don't mix. He's saying, that's not going to work like that. I'm not going to give to you with your wrong intention. And a lot of us are going to the Father going, God, will you just give me money? Because this is our heart intent. Just hear me out. Because I don't trust that you're actually going to provide for me. And if you give me the money, God, I'll be generous. I'll do all these great things as if I really trusted you. But I need you to give me money because I don't trust you. And the Lord's looking at you going, I can't give to that because it's going to lead you down the wrong road. You're asking amiss. And your heart's in the wrong spot. You should be saying, Father, I don't care if you give me. Honestly, once you realize, just a heads up about money. Once you realize he's your provider, you're like, God, I'd like to see a different way than money. That's what you start saying. Let the raven show up with some McDonald's, you know? Now, forget McDonald's. I want a steak, God. Give me a steak from a raven. Actually, I don't want that. I'm going to be honest. If a raven drops off a steak, I'm not touching that thing, dude. Did I take that back? Your heart's intense. So many of us have seen the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They might do great things with them. They might be doing great prophetic word, but you could see your heart's intent so off. And then you have a problem because you're going, I want to ask the Father, but man, something's not adding up. And some of you guys are asking the Father. You've been begging him, Father, give me the gift of tongues because I want validation. Father, give me prophecy because I want to be validated that I really know you. The Father's looking at you going, brother, your heart's off. I'm not going to touch that. You're asking amiss. Get your heart in order. When we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, dude, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Why? So we could help one another. So that we could look at your neighbor. So you could help them. Look at them. Not the building of the church. Not just a platform. No. You know what the gifts of the God are for? You know why you should be prophesying? So you could call up the person next to you and say, this is what the Lord's saying. You should not be asking for prophecy so you could lead and have a power over other people. You should have prophecy so you could serve people. You see the difference? That's why you got that bad taste in your mouth about the prophets. You go, oh, the prophets keep elevating themselves. Something's not right about that. I want to tell you what that is. This is the Spirit of the Lord saying, the body is acting as if it's only one part. No, you're supposed to be walking in the gifts so that you could bless other people. I broke my pen. Well, I guess that's the end of that. Understand that just because you could do great things, the Father's looking at your heart's intent of why you're asking. The gifts of the Spirit have been so messy for some of us because we haven't had a good reason to ask for them. We've been so confused by them because we keep seeing other people use them. We go, man, I don't know what they're supposed to be used for. And Paul, very clearly, and all through the rest of the scriptures, he's going to talk about these gifts of the Spirit. And they're not just supernatural things. I want to make this very clear. It's not just supernatural things. It's things that the Spirit of God has given you so that you could serve one another. And what we're about to read here in a second, he's going to make it really clear. Yeah, prophecy's sick, and that has a killer impact. But let's not neglect those who do the administrations, those who are good at giving, the Tabithas, who make good clothes for people. He says, your gifting is for one another. And any other reason you want it, I want to tell you right now, beware, the Father sees your heart. Check this out when we continue reading. He says in verse 8, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. He says, man, the gifts of the Spirit are a great variety. For someone, it's going to be great advice. How many guys like giving out advice? Anyone in here like giving out advice? I love giving out. Even if it's sucky, I like giving out advice, you know? I'll tell people stuff and be like, I hope that works out when they leave, you know? Like, I'll see. But how many guys like receiving good advice? He says it's like apples plated in gold on a silver platter. It's beautiful. It feels so good to have a sound word at the right time. He says, man, the Spirit of God gives some people wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. That means knowing things that other people do not know. That same Spirit gives faith to another. To someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from some other spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, that's tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. All right. How many of you guys ever looked at other people and thought, I wish I could do that. You ever done that before? Have you ever done that before? I could see you. It feels like, are you guys looking at the TV screen? Like, I can see your reactions. Like, I see you just blankly staring at me when I ask you. Like, hey, I'm talking, you know? Thank you. My heart feels better. He says, man, I've seen a bunch of people do some cool things, man. There's a guy, good friend, man, Pastor Nick. He could prophesy. It's sick. I love it. He'll show up and he'll call you. Tommy, you know, his little voice. The Lord told me this. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Actually, a real story. This just happened. I was feeling real discouraged. It was just after a long week, me and my wife, we had a bunch going on. And there's like bad news. Not like bad news, like we're dying or nothing. But, you know, it was just like heavy news, emotional news. And then I had someone come in, sweetheart of a girl. She's like, hey, I'm moving. And I just wanted you to know that. And I started thinking, God, you had all these promises for me. And I feel like I'm watching people walk in and out of the church. And I'm just wondering, what's going on, you know? And I'm sitting there and go, and this is what I say in my head. I say, man, I really wish I could just get some good news. And my phone rings. And it's this woman, Cindy Nardi, my sister. She's probably watching right now. I call her Prophet Cindy. And Prophet Cindy gave me a call. She says, Tommy, the Lord just told me I need to encourage you. I said, oh, man, thanks. This is great. And she starts encouraging me. And she starts speaking into everything that was going on. She says, hey, you know, you've been discouraged about the people who are coming in and out and who don't show up to church often, or when they do show up to church. And no shade to you, by the way. It's just me and my feels. If you're like, I come to church once a month, shame on you. I'm just kidding. No shade. It's just, you know, I'm thinking, God, am I doing what you're supposed to do? I want to see the fruit of it. You know, I'm feeling discouraged. She just says, man, you're feeling this way. And then what she says to me right afterwards is, his promises are still true. What he told you, they're coming. Don't worry about it. She says, hey, your children. This is what she told me. She said, your children are going to be okay. I'm going, yeah, okay, good. And I'm in, while she's telling me this, in my heart, I say, Father, what do you want me to do? And this is what she says. As soon as I said that in my mind, all right, unless I said out loud, I didn't know it, but I don't think I did. She goes, and if you're asking God what you should do, stay steadfast. I'm going, thank you, Lord, you know? And now listen, I love Cindy, but let me tell you something about that. You know what's cool about that gifting that she has? I didn't elevate her. I went straight to the Father and said, God, you are so good. I said, Cindy, you are my sister. I told her, bless you, my sister. I love having sisters and brothers who walk in the gifts. But I went to the Father because I want to make this clear. The Lord is the one who gives the gifts. It's about him. And he says, this gift is good. And I wish I could always prophesy over people. I feel like every time she talks, and Judy, I don't know if you guys know Judy Patasri, a prophet Judy to me, right? Every time they talk, it's like, man, they're on it. But I don't get jealous. I go, but Father, you've given me a good gift. I might not be able to prophesy, but Father, you give me the ability to stand on the stage today. Father, I might not be able to prophesy, but Father, you've given me my children, then you've gifted me my children, and I will pour into them. Father, I might not have this over here, but I know that every gift is from you and you chose it for me. So I don't get bad mood thinking, I wish I had that gift. I go, Father, you gave me a gift. I will celebrate this gift. It is from you and you have given it to me. He decides which gift. Everyone, let me just remind you, by the way, the spiritual things that we're talking about are gifts, not fruits. These are gifts. God doesn't come looking for gifts at the end times. He comes looking for fruit in the end times. Now I'm saying this because I think there's a lot of people going back to the validation thing. You want to have a gift so you're validated. That doesn't validate you. Fruit validates you. Gifts are a tool to use to bless other people. Fruit is the evidence that you follow him. Gifts are not evidence that you follow him. Many will come to him on that day saying, Lord, Lord, we did all these great gifts, but he'll say, I never knew you. You fruitless. So I want to say that again because I think some of us think that the spiritual gifts are things that you're supposed to have for your validation. No, spiritual gifts are because you love your brothers and sisters so much, you will serve them with the supernatural. You'll give them a phone call when they're discouraged. You don't have to get on a stage to fulfill your gifts. You get on a phone call when they're discouraged and you prophesy to them. You go to their house when they're in need and you give to them. This is the gifts of the Spirit of God. Let me continue reading because I'm coming to an end. I got to land. Holy smokes, I got 11 verses. That's it. All right. I got to land. I just looked at the time. You guys better thank God that that TV is up there because I'll be going for another hour on accident. The human body, verse 12, this is where I'm going to land, has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free, but we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. I just want to go over this analogy really quick. We'll repeat this a little bit next week. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Of course not. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or the whole body an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Paul's example, and we'll get through the rest of this next week, is looking at the church and saying, listen, you see all these gifts, right? You see all these people out there with these amazing gifts. They're prophesying, they're healing, they're doing these things. And you're wondering to yourself, man, I can't do that stuff. I wish I did. I wish I walked in that power. You see that guy prophesy and he becomes accurate. You go, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I was. And then all of a sudden you start feeling down and out. Like, am I even walking with Christ? Paul points it out and says, dude, he's given gifts to each person as he desires. And then he uses an analogy and says, just like your body. He says, everyone in this room, God has anointed in a special way to function in one big body. And it's important that you're not the same. It's important that you recognize that you're not the same as that person. But don't be envious. I mean, how stupid would it be if my foot said, I wish I was the hand? It's like, no, dude, I need you. I need you to be the one who isn't the prophet, who is, or maybe I should say it this way, I need the prophets in this place. I can't be all the gifts. You can't be all the gifts. No, you're called uniquely by the Father. I mean, I love what he says. God has put each part just where he wants it. I want to tell you something. Every gift you have, maybe you have the gift of discernment. You know, I love, you guys always call yourself empaths or whatever, you know, some stupid, you're empathetic. Get out of here with that. You have the gift of discernment. Or maybe you're in this place, and man, you just feel like you got wisdom. Or maybe you're in here, and you go, I don't even know exactly what it is, but I have a home, and I'm going to start hosting people. I want you to know something. God has anointed you uniquely, not to be like what you see, but to be unique in your giftings. Some of you guys are called to give, and you got no money. And God says, yes, I uniquely made you that way. And I'm not talking about giving an offering. Yes and amen. Give it an offering. But I'm talking about giving to people in need around you. Some of you guys have the gift of great discernment. And you walk into a room and you could tell that guy's not walking with Jesus. He sounds like it, but I could tell. I feel it in my spirit. The Lord says, you're uniquely placed in that gift so that you can help out the whole church. And not the Atlanta Dream Center Church. I'm talking about the body. He says, man, you got the gift. Why do you have the gift? So you can help one another out. He says, man, don't you see? We're like a big body, uniquely knitted together by Christ. And not one piece of this body that I wear, that I have right here, not one part of it is useless. No, every part, and you can read this. We're going to read this next week. We'll really nail out the body part. But every part of my body is useful. Every part, the reason why my hand could grab that cheeseburger and feed it to my mouth is because of my elbow. I don't know about you, but I've never wanted to be an elbow. But when I think about that, I go, thank God for my elbow. And when I look around at the church, I see a lot of people going, man, I wish I was something bigger and better. And the Lord's going, no, I uniquely positioned you. I uniquely positioned you, not for validation, not so you can have a place of authority, so that you could play a part in the body. Now, let me put a little warning out there to you. If you're not using your gifts, when I say gifts, don't just think supernatural. Think words of wisdom. Don't just think supernatural. Think about giving. I'm talking about the ability, the thing in your heart that you know you could do for the church. I'm talking about the believers. It's like having a body part that's paralyzed. It makes the whole church dysfunctional when you don't walk in your gifts. Isn't that crazy? That when you have a gift of the Spirit, maybe it's generosity, like I said, maybe it's patience, maybe it's sitting with the sick, maybe you have a huge heart to go be in the hospitals. The Father's saying, this is my leading of my Spirit in your life. Use it. Go bless them. He says, when it doesn't work, man, this is what it's like. It'd be like my finger not working. It's like having arthritis where moving as a body hurts everything. I want to encourage you, church. You need to be people who are walking in the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm not going to elevate a gift to you. I'm not going to say, go be a hand. Yeah, desire the greater gifts. Yes, absolutely. We'll get that later. But today, I just want to say, you need to be asking the Father, Father, I need to know, what am I gifted in? Because some of us in here are going, I feel like I got nothing to offer. I'm not some hand that could grab a cheeseburger. I feel more like a kneecap, and I don't know what to do. The Father's saying, plug in with more people so your gifts could be exposed. Now, let me just reveal something I think is so important. Some of your gifts aren't exposed because you're not connected to nobody. Can I say that again? Some of you guys don't know the gifts of the Spirit because you won't connect to the body. You won't have fellowship in their home. You won't call them up in the middle of the week to pray with them. Let me tell you something. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will be revealed to you when you're connected to the body in a healthy way. And not just Sunday mornings. I'm talking about real relationships with people. Some of you guys are wondering, God, what's the gift I have? And he's going, it doesn't matter if you knew what it was. You can't use it until you have fellowship with the body. Now, can I just lay that in one more time? You should be having, look around this church. These people should not be Sunday pew sitters next to you. These should be people in your home. These are the people that you should be calling up. These are the people that you are in one mission with. And your gift will, for some of you, your gift's not going to be revealed until you plug in, until you start inviting people over and you start realizing, oh my gosh, I do have the gift of discernment. Oh my gosh, I really do have the gift of wise words at a right time. You won't know it until you're a part of the body. Man, I could preach so much longer on this, and I will next week. But we just hit the surface. And in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about a better way that all these gifts are nothing, just like the rest of the scriptures we've read in Corinthians. But I want to nail this out. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, stop being weirded out by them. You literally pray to the invisible God. You think gifts are weird? You were in here dancing a second ago to a song, okay? You're weird. And let me just tell you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are real and they didn't die. I don't care what kind of theology you got into. The gifts of the Spirit haven't died in the sense that God stopped wanting to use them. The gifts of the Spirit's died because people stopped connecting with one another. The gifts of the Spirit's died in your life. It hasn't died in my life. I'm talking about your life. Because you thought that it was wacko, voodoo, mystic stuff. I want to tell you right now, that's not true. The gifts of the Spirit are active even today all around the world. But they're not active for them out there. They're not active for stage presence. They're not active for validation. They're active for you to be a ministry to your brothers and sisters. And you should be seeking them. You should be going on your knees at home saying, Father, I want to know, is there something I should have that I might minister to my brothers? God, give me the gifts of your Holy Spirit that I might serve other people. Some of you guys got to get your whys right. You know, you guys have been praying for validation, or you've been praying because you imagine this great revival by you. The Lord's going, no, that's the wrong why. Pray for the gifts of the Spirit that it might be evident that you could serve one another. Don't you see what Paul's been speaking this whole time? This whole book? Concern yourself with the person next to you. When you have communion, think about them. It's the same with the gifts of the Spirit. He's going, man, don't you see? It's not for that. It's not for your stage. It's not so you can pat yourself on the back and say, oh, I'm a good Christian. He goes, no, it's for them. He says, I want to use you. Why don't you stand to your feet? I'll make this prayer fast. I was told one time that there's timely people who really concern themselves with being on time. If you don't consider them, they won't consider you. If you're that person, I'm sorry, okay? Bow your heads. I just want to pray over you real quick. If you're in this house, number one, you've been praying for the gifts for the wrong reason. I'm going to have you raise your hand in a second. You've been praying and wanting gifts because this whole time you thought it was about being validated. Or maybe you didn't pray for the gifts because you thought that's not right. I don't need to be validated. So you stopped praying for them. Or maybe you're in this room and you wanted the gifts of the Holy Spirit and it wasn't for everybody else, but it was just for you. I want to give you an opportunity today. I'm going to pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit over you so that you might be able to love your neighbor even greater. I want to pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit over you so that you could serve one another greater. So if you're in this house and you're like, man, I've been praying amiss, or maybe you're in this house going, I don't know what my gift is, or maybe you're in this house and you're going, man, I just want that prayer over me. I want you to put your hand real high. I'm going to pray that the Lord pours gifts on you. Father, I pray over every hand in this house. Lord, they don't want to just be people who go to church. They want to be people who get used by you to serve one another. I pray right now, God, in the authority of you, Jesus Christ, that you've given me in this building. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, give them gifts today. Father, if their hands are empty, I pray that you fill them. Father, I pray that if their mouths are empty, I pray that you fill them, Father, with the gifts of your Holy Spirit. That Jesus, if it's speaking in tongues, oh, actually, God, I'm going to pray that some of these guys would be interpreters of tongues. Oh, Father, I pray right now, Jesus, there would be prophecy. I pray for wisdom. Oh, Father, I pray for the gift of faith. I pray, Jesus, that you would start pouring gifts on them. Oh, Father, that they might be able to partake in the purpose of the church, serving one another, building one another up, encouraging, edifying, that they would go do the mission of proclaiming the news of you to the ends of the earth. Father, I pray you pour out your Spirit upon them. Oh, Jesus, I pray for new gifts even. God, I pray for gifts that we haven't seen in this word. Father, that they would just start pouring out on these guys. That, Father, they would start doing it. And God, I pray for those who have been asking amiss, praying for validation, praying for authority. I pray right now, Father, that you just gently, as you do all of us, call them into the right order. No. Love your brethren. No. Get the gift so that you can love your brethren. Get the gift so the church can function well. Get the gift so the whole body can function well. And Father, I pray your Spirit would be upon them in the name of Jesus. We pray. Hey, keep your heads bowed for just a second longer. If you're in this house and you've never given your life to the Lord, I would be robbing you not to give you this opportunity. If you've never given your life to the Lord, today I want to give you that opportunity. We're not going to have you come up on stage. I'm not going to have anyone look at you but me, myself, and probably Evelyn, because she's probably not playing with her eyes closed. If you're in this house and you're giving your life to the Lord, all I'm going to have you do is raise your hand up real high. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But not just you. If you're in this house and you've given your life to the Lord and at some point you walked away, Brother, sister, I want to tell you, we're waiting for you to come home today. The Father's waiting for you to come home today. And you might have got led astray by some nonsense in your life, but let me tell you something. His grace is still upon you. That's why you still got breath in your lungs. And you could come home today. If you've never given your life to the Lord, at some point you did and you walked away and you want to come back today, this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to lift up your hand real high. Come on, keep that hand up. Come on. Come on. Anybody else in this house? Come on, I see you. I see you back there. Come on. Come on. Anybody else in this house? Come on, I see you. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Come on. Anybody else in this house? Come on. This is what I want you to do right now. I want you to listen to me. If you raise your hand, the three of you, the four of you, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to say this prayer. It's simple. We're all going to say it as a church. I don't want you just to repeat it like it's some kumbaya chant. I want you to say it with your whole heart. And this is why. Because when I said this prayer, my life was forever transformed. But it wasn't because of the prayer. It's not magic words. It's a heart that's broken and contrite. It's someone who says, no, I'm for real this time. I'm coming to you. And the Lord says, that's the heart I'm after. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Church, can we all repeat this prayer just in case there's someone who didn't have the courage to raise their hand? Can we all say this together? Dear Father, I'm inviting you into my heart. Change me. Transform me. Make me new. Today, I'm asking that you be my everything. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me new. I declare you are my God. And I will follow you. I believe you died on that cross and you rose again. And your promise to raise me up. So today I'm yours. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Church, you already know it. You already know this, but they don't. If you just came back to the Lord, it says in the scripture that there's rejoicing in heaven right now. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't get ahead of me just yet, because I want to talk to you who raised your hand. There's a rejoicing in heaven, and it says that the Father's up there rejoicing. That means he's excited. Now, I know you can't hear it, but church, can you show